Welcome to the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're sitting down with Hannibal to talk about their upcoming album. And Dan and Tez probably have the most interesting musical debate I've ever heard.
Look, I want to start this episode with a story, Jay. It's a little, you know, let's start on a different note this time, you know, but it's a good story, if I may, you know?
Okay.
All right. So we're playing a gig at Cafe Nola in Frederick, and there's this band playing with us called HNBL. Right? And so I'm trying to figure out, like, what it stands for. I'm like, hi now, bye later, or like, have nice beaver lovers or whatever, you know?
Hairy now, bald later.
Yeah. I'm like working on that in my head. So I go into the joint, we all roll our gear in there, and these guys start up, and like, I'm checking them out, and kind of as their set's going on, it kind of keeps getting better and better and better, you know? And I'm like, shit, man, these guys are really like, tearing Nola up. So then Tez gets me because we're playing after them on the set, and he's like, hey, you want to go outside and smoke real quick? And I'm like, yeah, man, sure. So we go outside, do the deed and whatever, and hang out for a couple minutes, and I come back in, and when I come back in, I'm looking at these guys, and they're just like, at this point, they're just like blowing my mind. Like, the, you know, the timing signatures and like, you know, the drummer is just like destroying his kit, and they're just like going and going, and I'm just like, Jesus, man, I'm getting so into it. And then they're like, hey, this is our last song. And I'm like, shit, because I got to play next, you know? And at that point, I'm really feeling the wobbles, you know, from the evening. So it's like, they play this killer ass last song and like destroy the place. And I'm like, shit, man, we have to follow that up, you know? So we like roll our gear on stage and somehow figure out how to hook it up right and go into our set, which I think was like half jam session and like a couple songs that we wanted to pull off that night. And then our gear broke and we tore down, but it was you guys are a hard act to follow. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
The guests of the evening, the hard act to follow, give it up for Hannibal.
Those are very kind words.
Only truth, bro. Only truth. You know? Only truth. Only truth.
I will say that we, when we got done playing that set, we all felt like we fucking killed it for some reason. I don't know what it was that evening. And we'd never been there before, ever even heard of that place. And first walking up to it, like, people were just sitting there having dinner.
Earlier last year
we played somewhere like that and it did not go well
at all. We were definitely a little nervous,
so we were getting those kind of vibes again, but man, that place turns into something else.
Yeah, it does.
It's a good spot, man. Like, I wish they would, like, it, you know, when it's like a little place has the heart of a bigger scene, and they can't really hold the scene anymore. Like, there's other places to play around there that are a little bit bigger and can probably hold a bigger show, but it's not like all of them, just everybody is going to go to Nola. That's just the spot that there is right now. So it has the scene, but it is a magical spot, man, for sure. But that was where we met you guys. And now we got you on the show. Tez, how'd you find these dudes? Like, how'd you get them out?
Really, man, just digging the tunes, man. And, you know, when they were loading up outside, I just went outside. I was like, yo, I mean, this must happen. Because, I mean, everybody in the band was cool. The music was great. I won't say starstruck, mesmerized, if you will, by too many drummers. I'm not going to lie to you. You did it, bro. You did it,
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and he's
man.
Only like fucking 20, what are you, 27?
28.
28.
I'll be 29 this month.
29 years old.
God.
Yeah.
But you're in your seasoned time, bro. Kill it, man. You guys were. And even in a place the sound wasn't even superb. Because, you know, we had pretty much like a basement sound going on. Like, y'all sound was right at a good level. Nobody was overpowering each other. It was good, man. But yeah, drummers, I'm a drummer. I watch drummers and man, I was, yeah. You got it, man. You got
Thank
it.
Thank you, man.
Ted's got a man crush.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta lie, bro. He's 29, Tez. He's too young for you, bro. He's 29.
All right, introductions. We need introductions, man.
Yes.
I'm Zach. I'm the drummer of Hannibal.
I'm Dave. I am the lead guitar player.
Well, and where's the other dudes? There's two more, right? Hannibals out there, yeah?
Yes. Patrick, our bass player, he has some kind of class on Tuesdays every day up until today. So he's doing that. I don't even know what it's for. And Pete, our singer, is sick.
Singers. Always being sick and whatnot. Jay.
Are y'all in the heart of Philly? Or y'all just everybody from a different area and Philly's like the main hub for y'all?
Yeah, we kind of use Philly just as a, you know, main point so that everybody knows. But we're like in the suburbs. About 45 minutes away from the city.
Yeah.
But okay. Pete's in Allentown. He's probably about an hour and a half.
He's probably the furthest from all of us to Philly.
He's up. Oh wow. He's up north, like going towards Poconos.
Okay. Is there a scene like I mean, you know, besides the Philly, like the inner city scene, like how you guys played DC, I'm pretty sure, and then you played Frederick, which is like the suburb scene. You guys got one of those out your way?
Yeah, it's different. So I have been playing in a hardcore scene for the last since 2005. That's real prominent around here. Like the hardcore scene's huge. There's Club Reverb in Reading, which is one of the guys from Out to Win, if you remember that band from the 90s, and Crutch, and he opened up a club in Reading, so now all the hardcore bands are going there, so it's huge out here. But with this kind of music, with like prog rock and everything that's not hardcore, it's different. It's harder to find. Like, there's not as much of a community. Like, with hardcore, you basically just go to any hardcore show and there's going to be a lot of people there. Like, because, I mean, it's, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, like, scene points, you know, people want to get there just to be hanging out with somebody cool or, you know, whatever it is. And that's great, but with this, it's not the same.
So the Philly hardcore scene, I'm trying to think of it, like, everybody who knows East Coast hardcore knows, like, the big three would be, I mean, in my opinion, I guess the big three is DC, Boston, and New York,
they all kind of have
their own flavor. Like DC is like kind of like snobby, preppy hardcore in a way, you know, like jazzy hardcore. New York always has something to prove. They're always just like trying to prove themselves over and over. And Boston is just like the angriest fucking
that's the,
people
that's the drinking hardcore.
Like on earth so where does Philly stand on the East Coast hardcore?
Philly's got, I mean, Turmoil, probably one of my favorite hardcore bands out of Philly, and then Wisdom and Chains, but they're more like northern, like northeast Pennsylvania. A lot of it, I would say, is suburbs. It's not so much inner city. I'm also out of the loop now for the past like 10 years. So there's probably lots of bands that I'm not aware of that are in Philly.
It happens, dude. It does happen, man. You know, getting like the thing about the hardcore scene is like the older you get, like for me anyways, the more you stop listening to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, you know? I was never a big hardcore fan. I was always a metal guy. Like that was my thing. Like my favorite bands are like Integrity. I like Cleveland hardcore, like Integrity, Ringworm, and Cold Blood, bands like that.
Okay.
That's what I'm into. Like it's more like crossover metal hardcore stuff.
Oh yeah, dude. When hardcore got that, when metalcore happened in like, I don't know, 2005 or something.
Yeah.
That was the greatest time, man. Like there was so much good music coming out there.
I was digging it. And the guys that were in my band were all older than me, and they were like, fuck this shit. Like, this is fucking awful.
Yeah. Me too,
they just wanted to listen to, like,
guy.
DRI and Warzone and shit, and I'm like, nah, man, I'm good on that.
right, man. Like, they got me into the music, Then I get into Unearth.
Yeah.
And then exactly. And then they're like, no, 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 it's too metal. It's too metal. And yeah. I'm like, man, what? It's amazing is what it is.
It's a, I mean, it's a generational thing, you know, and I'm sure that we're going to be the same way, you know, eventually. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure I've talked some shit on new music that's come out, like kinds of gent and stuff like that. And
bands that I like.
Yeah, bands that he likes.
Bands that drummers like.
Yeah.
Bands that drummers like.
It just took me a minute, man. Like, the Polyphia, right? That's the one that...
Periphery.
Periphery.
Yeah. Periphery. Polyphia.
Oh, Periphery. Yeah, we know those guys, man. Yeah. They're from Bethesda, man. They're from, like, the snobby DC suburb. Yeah. Yeah. They're good dudes, man. Those dudes are all right.
Yeah.
They're
so talented. They're amazing. Insane. But, like, as far as just listening, it's just, it wasn't for me. But I'm getting into it slowly.
Dude.
They're an acquired taste, man. They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do. Don't get me wrong. They're great musicians. But they are music style wise, they are definitely an acquired taste.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny, man? I remember talking smack because we either went to a show or we played a show with Periphery way back in the day, like way forever ago, at this little spot in Baltimore called Fletcher's. Yeah, it's a little tiny kind of shithole spot. So, anyways, Periphery goes up and they're like, the power there was really dirty. It was like really like. It was like brown power, you know, like it was like nothing ever worked. It was always blowing up. And they went up there and their like pedal boards weren't working. And so they were like freaking out. They were like, dude, we cannot play this set without this pedal board working. Like, period. Yeah, that's like, right. It's like programmed to the set or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, you know, dorks, you know, like, suck, like, you know, like,
wait a
you
know, like,
play, yeah, you should be, yeah, you should be able to play with like, you know, a borrowed guitar,
yeah, whatever, yeah,
like, you know,
a fucking tuner, yeah, you know, yeah.
But that be, but dude, look, that being said, like this band being more prog, like I could see like if your gear shuts down on you, that really crimps your style. Like once you get intricate enough. Like Periphery, I think is.
Yeah.
Then you like you really need that gear because like that's how the set works is around like this pedal or this or this whatever, you know. So
you get locked.
I kind of do feel it more now. I feel it more now. Yeah. I was talking shit back in the day, but now I would be kind of upset if my pedal board didn't work either, you know, or whatever.
This is why
you know?
It is great to be a drummer.
Yeah.
And a singer.
Yeah. I saw a video of their drummer. His in-ears went out and he didn't have his click anymore. So his drum tech sat there with a stick and tapped his leg.
Yeah. Somebody else
said
that.
The whole time. Yeah, man. It's wild.
Dude.
Somebody else told me. That's crazy. Somebody else told me that.
Yeah. It's impressive, dude. It's cool to watch.
Yeah.
But enough about Periphery, huh? Let's talk about Hannibal, huh?
Yeah.
So y'all get. So you said there's not really much going on in Philly for y'all. So.
It's tough, man. Like, I was playing in Philly a lot about, I'd say, like, 2011, 2012, and there was definitely a community. Like, it was, and also, I mean, that's another thing. I was younger then, too. I didn't have kids. I wasn't married, you know. I had more time just to do whatever the hell I wanted. But it is noticeable difference now. Like, you can't book a show without... like really having a draw, and then if you don't bring the draw, you have to listen to like all the sob stories about how, you know, nobody makes any money anymore and all this stuff, and it's like kind of makes your hands tied a little bit, you know.
I mean, well, look, man, pay to play, like we've talked a lot of smack about pay to play shows on this podcast, and it's fucking hard, man. I know it's necessary when you're young and you're starting out and stuff, but like when it comes to the point where you're just inviting the same 50 to 100 people out to your show, and every band's doing that, it's like it gets old so fast. You're like,
yeah, and you're not,
you know, like you want that scene to just show up and be there to see you.
I'll tell you, when we just start having people showing up that I don't know who they are, I'm going to be really happy.
I mean,
we get a couple now, you know, maybe we'll get like five, but that's one thing that I do miss from the hardcore scene was that they were all just so dedicated. They didn't even give a shit who the bands were, or you know, or they were any good.
They were just dedicated to the scene.
Yeah, or they just saw the band. And it's, I mean, and still to this day, like Madball plays the same venue 3 times a year, and then just as many people go every single time. You know,
I mean, that's punk. You know, like punk is always going to have those like real hard roots where you know it's a community thing. But like you guys said a minute ago. how for some reason you guys were just feeling it that night that we played together up at NOLA. The crowd was there for you. It does something to your psyche,
it
man.
Does,
having people you don't know there makes you like really like
it gets you
prove
amped.
Yourself.
I'll
you
tell
know?
You what, yeah, man. Yeah. That show actually was a turning point for us for whatever reason. There was a lot of things that happened that night that for whatever reason it just made us all more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like you were saying earlier about how there was like everything was all kind of leveled out. It all sounded pretty even. That was completely by accident. Like the singer and I were getting ready to hit our first note. And I was like, well, I guess we're not going to do a sound check. And he's like, well, you haven't changed your volume, right? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, you didn't change your volume. I'm like, yeah, I changed my, what do you mean? You change it for every venue. He's like, oh, I don't. he keeps his volume in the same spot for every single show.
He just has his shit on like 7, no matter where he plays
matter
or something.
Man.
Or whatever.
It's just there. So I'm literally staring at him like, how the fuck do you operate like that, man?
Yeah, man. Dude.
So we did it, dude. I turned up to where I normally am and it just fucking worked.
It worked.
We got done. And I looked at him. I was like, yeah, I should have fucking killed it.
feel bad for these jokers that gotta go next, you know?
Nah, man. I mean, it had a vibe there. Like there was people were into it. Yeah. I think it even might have been you that came up to me as soon as we were done and just like shook my hand. Like that's the stuff that I miss that I don't see around here as much as I used to.
Yeah, I think that was also just such a great experience too, because that was our first time as a band being out of state and playing the show out of state.
Yeah. Okay.
So to see that kind of a crowd and that kind of a vibe come out for every band that was there is phenomenal. We also had a good day that day too.
Yeah. Dude, I'm pretty sure I started that 10 Roar set and I was like, I'm really stoned and Hannibal just blew this place apart. Like, I was like, I'll do the very, very best I can, you know, like I'm gonna give you everything I've got right now, you know.
That makes us feel good, man. I appreciate
it. And it went on from there. So how did this band start? We know the hardcore scene, we know that the Philly scene is sparse, so how did you guys tell your quick story?
It sort of started with COVID, and I had this open space in my garage, and I wanted to start a band again. And since I had nothing but time, I started buying some drywall and shit and built a practice room. And then an old friend of mine showed up, and he asked if you wanted to jam. I said, sure. So we started kind of doing something, and then he mentioned our singer, Pete, who was a mutual friend. I had met him. I knew some of his whole family are all musicians. They had bands around here. They were on radio and stuff. And I never really got to know him that well. So I said, sure, bring him over. So he came over. And then Zach, I was in a band with his best friend a couple years prior. And I just happened to run into that guy. And I was like, hey, man, I'm looking for a drummer. Do you know anybody? And he said, yeah.
And I had been in a band for probably 2 years at that point. So I was all for getting back into music.
Yeah, it was completely I literally saw his friend Matt in the parking space somewhere in Pottstown.
Yeah, it's just a random happenstance thing. And then we all got together and jammed, and I think it just felt right.
Yeah, that was it, man. Like literally it just was immediate.
So this is like, like 2020, right? 2020?
Yeah, October of 2020 is when it started.
Yeah,
man, band.
Yeah, I know, right? I really wonder how many bands started or reformed or whatever during COVID, man. Because we did. Obviously, these guys did.
Yeah.
Like, I bet you there's a ton of them out there, you know?
Absolutely. You got all that penned up, you know, whatever you have in you, all kinds of emotions, and, you know, you got to get it. I mean, that's one thing, like, when we started writing, it just didn't stop.
Yeah.
Like, it was immediate. We wrote and recorded whatever or how many songs were on our first album in a matter of, I don't know, it was 4 months.
Yeah, it was a couple of months.
Like yeah.
Okay.
So are the two of you the primary writers in the band? Like the music anyways?
So more so Pete and I are the primary writers. Pete, I would say, is the majority.
Yeah.
He's the most versed in, like, he used to be a piano and guitar teacher. Saxophone, trumpet, like he's one of those guys.
Right.
Okay.
So,
right.
Kind of the way, not for every song, but like he'll bring in some bones, you know, and then we'll put our own little spin on everything, and Zach will do arrangements, and Patrick will do arrangements too, and then all kind of put together. And then we just basically don't stop adding parts until
until we say it's too much.
Until we realize we have a 9-minute song.
Your songs are long. Your guys' songs are long, but their timing is all over the place. Like, you use a lot of dynamics. Yeah. You guys are not stoner. You're not like the same pace for 9 minutes. Like, you guys really like that prog side. Like, one of my buddies was there at the show, and he said you guys reminded him of the Mars Volta.
Which
is a compliment. That's a huge compliment.
Huge compliment.
I can see it.
That's awesome.
Right?
Actually, as soon as Pete came over and started singing, I was like, yo, man, I'm like, you all sound a little bit too much like Mars Volta.
He definitely has that natural bravado, you know, when you hold a note for so long and somebody's voice starts that, he has it natural, man. And it was, yo, like, when that dude sings, man, it worked.
And he's got, like, that high-pitched metal scream, which I'm a huge Judas Priest and 3 Inches of Blood fan, so. I love that shit.
So who would y'all compare your sound to?
I would say we're kind of the Mastodon realm.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. If I had to pick somebody, because we don't go straight, you know, like, we do sometimes, I guess, but like straight metal. Like, there's not a lot of like,
I mean, we're not chugging the whole time or doing a bunch of double bass.
Yeah. It's not too thrashy or anything that.
But we're also not like gent prog either. We try and play with a bunch of different elements in all of our songs. So
the Mastodon, that makes a lot of sense, especially because Mastodon's start was also of like more of a hardcore.
Yeah.
You know, like the first couple Mastodon records are bangers. Yeah.
Remission is a hardcore record.
Remission sounds like Converge or something to me, you know? Like, yeah. But you see how they went over the years and they developed, like, now they're super prog, man. The newest Mastodon record, like, I listened through it like twice and I still didn't understand a freaking thing of it. You know, I was like, these guys are out there.
I got to go back to them because they lost me around that, Once Around the Sun. I kind of, I dipped out on them with that record. I got to come back again.
Yeah. Check out the new stuff, man. Yeah. Cause it's,
I heard it's good.
We always do like a Mount Rushmore kind of thing. Like if you could put your music, your rock gods or whatever, your Mount Rushmore, who are the four that you would choose to put up on your mountain? Influences.
For me, my biggest like influences and my favorite bands, Van Halen, Metallica, Pink Floyd would be top three. And then I'd say...
No, but you got to pick a face. Got to pick a face.
A face?
Whose face?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Mount Rushmore. All right. I'm going to go Eddie Van Halen, James Hetfield, David Gilmour. Two more?
One more. Four. Yeah.
Prince.
Ooh.
Good
work.
Nice.
Nice.
Good work.
An honorable mention would be Neil Diamond.
I like Prince.
Really?
Prince, yeah.
As a backup.
I love Neil Diamond.
All right, we got to hear the drummer's perspective.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let the drummer talk. You know?
When I was younger, I had two really big influences. It was Matt Greiner from August Burns Red and Joey Jordison from Slipknot. Now it's Matt Halpern from Periphery and Matt Garska from Animals as Leaders.
Dude, you have a very, very complex Mount Rushmore, my man. Those are four of the most complicated drummers that I can think of. August Burns Red, Slipknot, Periphery, and Animals as Leaders.
That explains
any of those drummers play a pocket.
No.
Nah, man.
They are all over the place, man.
The only way that would have gotten more complicated is if you put Danny Carey on there.
Yeah.
Danny Carey. He's a bad boy from Tool. He's a bad boy. Yeah. He can play.
He's that dude's in a league of his own.
His drum cams are great, man. Yeah.
Can we even call him a drummer at this point?
He's like a beat scientist.
That dude is phenomenal. Yeah, man. And he makes it look so easy.
It's the Lakers jersey, bro. The Lakers jersey makes everything look easy, man.
He's channeling his inner Kobe.
Magic
Johnson with the dish.
Danny
Bamba. I want to hear more about Neil Diamond.
Don't we all?
I mean, hey, I'm down.
Don't we all?
I got really into Neil Diamond in high school, and man, I never stopped.
I've just never heard Neil Diamond listed as any kind of influence.
Songwriter, bro. I mean, you can't beat it. Like, he's so good. If you guys remember, I get that. And don't listen to Sweet Caroline, and listen to like the other songs. Like, there's a classic. I mean, it's a great song, but he also wrote a lot of songs that you probably didn't even know that he wrote too. Like Red Red Wine, that's him from UB40.
Really?
Yeah.
Red Red Wine.
Yeah, that's a Neil Diamond song.
That's a great song.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, man, he wrote that one for the Monkees, the one that Smash Mouth did.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
For sure. And to Joey, man. Joey, rest in peace too, bro. Yeah, we'll see you up there, bro.
He's a great songwriter, man. He did a lot.
Never would have thought.
Whatever, dude. When we said talk about Neil Diamond, it doesn't say fucking talk about Neil Diamond, you know. Ah, he is on a wall.
He's right there.
This dude's serious.
I ain't playing.
Damn. Wow. Damn, Tez. Yeah, we got ourselves a super fan. Damn.
Send this his way.
Is it autographed? That's what I want to know.
No, it's not. No.
Okay.
But my wife did frame it for me as a present, so it's not. It's definitely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We knew that. We knew. Remember Dirty Diamond? Jay, did you know Dirty Diamond?
Yeah, man.
From Sidebar back in the day in Baltimore.
Sidebar. Oh, yeah. I played there.
Yeah, dude. Dirty Diamond was this like coked out, like I don't know who this guy was, but he changed all the words to the songs and just, it was the trashiest, nastiest Neil Diamond covers you could think of. And he would play all these shithole places in a full suit. And I had to be with you. Tez, were you there for that or not? For Dirty Diamond?
I don't know.
No? Indeed.
Good answer. I don't know.
You were with me. We went.
Yeah. It was a sidebar.
It was us. It was a sidebar, yeah.
And we were just staring at it like, who is this guy? You know, like
he was
pretty cool.
He was friends with, like, I met him through Lily, actually. Mm. Like, I knew him. That guy was Baltimore. We'll just keep it at that. He was very, very Baltimore.
Sure. I actually wanted to ask you guys about your studio process, because I've heard a little bit of you since meeting you guys, right? But I've seen you live, and so I know what you guys look like live. And I've listened to you, so it's hard to balance the two. If you're a really good live band, it's hard to pull that off in the studio. Or if you're a really concentrated studio band, it's harder to pull off live. So I wanted to ask you guys tonight about your studio process. Like, how do you go about going in and recording these songs that you're writing?
Well, this album, the first album was supposed to be a demo. And then it turned into not a demo.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the best production quality on it for that reason. But this album, Zach can take that more, because we actually are recording this a little bit differently than I ever did before. We recorded the drums after the guitar.
What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You did the guitars to a click and added drums after?
Pretty much. Yeah,
so we had scratch drums.
Yeah, we ended up doing. Are you talking about for the demo, the first album?
No, for the.
Oh, for this album.
Yeah.
So this album, we tried to, again, we wanted to piece things together a little bit. So we ended up doing scratch drums first, and then everybody else came in and did their parts as far as guitars and bass and stuff like that. And then I ended up going back in and finalizing my drums, re-recording over everything that was already done.
Shit, man.
And then vocals after that, just to finish everything up and get everything tight. Wait,
so when you go back in, are you patching your old part, or are you completely going one take of the song?
Yep, I'm completely re-recording over everything that I already scratched on.
That's
just to make sure.
Giving them,
yeah,
you're
that's
giving them
up.
The skull and bones to play with, and then you're coming back. Okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I wanted to give them a template just to go off of. That way, it made me feel a little bit more comfortable coming back in, knowing what my parts were going to be.
Yeah, yeah. And you can enhance and
yeah,
turn
exactly.
up when you need to turn up. And yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Because there were still a couple, especially with Catharsis, there were a few parts that still weren't written yet that I had to kind of take the time in between me doing scratch drums and recording my finalized drums to come up with.
So you listen back to yourself.
Exactly.
And figure out what you want to put in.
Yeah.
That's dope, dude. That's a good idea. It's a great idea.
Well, we know how we're doing the next album.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, dude. Your ass is going to be cheesed by like 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Tez is like, yo, I needed some food. I need to get out of this room. You're like, get me done, you know?
That's how I am. Yeah. I'm trying to go to bed at like 9. how long
did it take to do this new record? Like, how much studio time did you guys use up?
When did we start? June? July?
I think July, right?
I think it was July. Yeah. So we started doing the scratch drums in July. And then have been going strong since then. And we are down to just vocals. And I think a little bit of keys we got to put on something. And then mixing and mastering.
So are you guys going like every month, or you doing like 2 days or weekends, or how are you doing
whenever we can get over there?
Yeah, whenever we have time. Sometimes it's more sporadic than we'd like it to be, but it's tough playing with everybody's schedules.
The studio is a good friend of mine too, so it's not like I gotta, you know, call like a professional studio and try to book time every single time. It's more like, yo man, are you free Friday? All right, cool. We'll be over.
Okay. Is it like a basement studio kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or it's
He recorded a band for me years ago in a different house. And then now he's at this place now. And he does a great job, man. Like, he really does, for considering where it is, like in the basement. And he's actually moving his whole thing into his garage next year. After we record his
home rig.
He's moving it up.
Yeah. From the first album?
Kinda. So, like I said, that was supposed to be a demo, so it was recorded actually in this room, just on a laptop, with the guy that is his friend that I had met to find him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he did that, and then we realized that it was kind of a full length, and we should treat it as a full length. So we tried to doctor it up and make it sound as good as possible with the guy that is recording this album.
So you got your wizard. Yeah,
yeah.
You got your guy that's into it. So
and the whole time
the first
was
one,
just a battle.
Yeah, he jazzed up the demos, and now
right.
he took you into his studio.
Exactly.
For this one.
And then Discord, the single that we had sent you, is basically a sample of what he can do in his studio, because he wanted
cool.
to show us for free, basically, like what he can actually do,
what he's capable of.
That sold us, and now we actually re-recorded that song again for
this album.
Okay.
Wait,
yeah.
So what we're hearing tonight, is this the one that's on the record, or this isn't the one that's
no,
on the record?
It's going to be the single version.
We did like a revised
Shit.
Version
yeah.
for the record. Yeah.
The only real difference is a different guitar solo, and there's some...
And it's a little bit faster, a little bit slower in some spots, and that's about it. There's not really much of a difference.
But we decided that we just wanted to have it cohesive with the rest of the songs and everything and sound the same, so now there's two of them.
you guys got to mix and master once you're done recording.
Yeah.
What's your like timetable that you want to have a record out by, like, next summer? Or when do you guys want to release it?
It should be out... all streaming platforms by January, maybe even before that.
2024.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right. I'll remember that. I'll remember that from you.
Planning a record release show in late January around here in Phoenixville.
Okay. Where are you going to do your release?
It's going to be at the Polish Club in Phoenixville, which is...
Polish Club.
Yeah.
Explain it.
I mean, yeah,
what's the Polish Club?
It's what it says it is. It's a Polish club. It's in the basement. And they've been having shows there since 2009, 2010. I don't know if you guys heard, do you remember the East Coast Tsunami shows they had every year? Yeah, they're only around here. Yeah. I don't know if they ever trickled down your way.
No, I'm not sure.
But it was the hardcore shows. Like, I was in this band Fury of Five for a few years, which is a Jersey hardcore band. And we played those shows, the Tsunami Fest, and it was like them and Sick of It All and bands like that, H2O. And they actually had the first one at the Polish Club in Phoenixville. And it was like 900 people in a basement of a Polish club.
Yeah, so it's like a dirty, legendary punk spot kind of thing. Ah, that's a good spot.
Maybe it's legendary. I
don't know. You got one of those.
But yeah, it's a cool spot. It's grimy. It's got a vibe.
That's what's up.
Well, dude, if you need some support, you can always holler at the Ten Roars if you need some support on that one, bro. If you want some out of town love for your record release, we'll come up there. You know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah, you definitely got an opener. Yeah.
Polish
down,
Club.
You got an opener. Yeah.
You had me at Polish Club. Bro. You had me there.
Had me at pierogies.
Yeah.
We'll open the shit out of that show.
Well, dude, so all right, so we have a record on the way that's been, it sounds to me like it's pretty meticulous with doing like scratch drums, layering guitars, putting master drums on it, then going into vocals and synth and keys and whatever the hell you guys are going to do. It sounds like it's going to be pretty intense.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
There's a lot involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Jay.
Yo.
Hey. Let's listen to the single version.
Yes.
Not the album version. The single version.
Still
of Discord.
7.5 minute long song.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
What?
I could have used a few more parts. You guys were slacking.
That's the first thing.
That's the first thing a friend of mine said to me. It's got a lot of parts.
What just happened?
Yeah.
A lot of parts.
Yeah.
Oh, good God.
Dude, you said the Kirk Hammett thing earlier on your Mount Rushmore, and you totally put some Kirk Hammett in that shit. Like, I heard it, and I was like, oh, man.
I can't help it. I think I tried not to, but...
it's awesome, dude. No, when you go that old Metallica route, man, yeah. Golly, dude. That guy.
Sometimes it comes out, and it feels Stone right. Age. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah,
we have that. We definitely, we've gotten that a couple times.
Yeah.
That, a little bit of Radiohead.
Yeah.
Because of Pete. That took me right to Queens, man.
Yeah.
And then he come in with that, we gave it all, we... Oh, man.
Yeah.
That just... Dude.
Yeah, man. You know, it's. Yeah. I sing that to myself all the time, but you know, it's.
Yeah, it gets stuck in your head.
You gotta be doing something right if it gets stuck in your own head.
Yeah, that's the tell. That's always the tell, man. Yeah, yeah. That's the tell. You said, wait, Tez, you talk about Queen, Freddie Mercury, Queen. Queen.
Queen's of the Stone Age.
Oh, okay. Queen's of the Stone Age. Yeah. I was like, Queen. I mean, I guess maybe some
Queen.
Well,
actually, Queen, you know? My guitar solo is definitely like. Pete and I were talking about that. Like, that's my Brian May solo. Is kind
of
how we.
Yeah, Queen had a way of kind of taking you on a journey throughout a song. Yeah. You guys are big on that journey.
He did a lot of lead-in soloing. He would like start to solo early and like jump into it and then go nuts.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have like layers and layers and layers of that song, man. It's intense, man. I'll give you guys massive, massive props, man. Like, you guys put a lot into your music. You know?
Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah, we try. We actually were simplifying the recording. On that song, I think there's like 4 guitar tracks total, or maybe even more. And for this whole record, we're just doing one on one side and one on the other side.
Yeah, no overdubs, either of y'all? Just one track.
I mean, here and there, like, you know, if I'm doing a solo, then I'll double up my part or whatever, you know, vice versa. But, yeah, but no, it's just AC/DC, man.
Yeah. No, I credit that. And I think I went through phases, too, in the studio where I would, like, layer tons of guitars onto my shit to give this certain feel to it. It was really cool to achieve that, but when I stripped it down to just like one track and some leads, you get more of an emotion out of it.
Yeah,
when you play like that.
Yeah, you hear the tone a little bit more. I mean, playing heavy stuff, like it always sounds good to layer the shit out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Jay, how are you, man? I'm looking at you on your new camera, and how do you feel about all what we've just occurred? You know,
I'm trying to figure out how to put it into words, but that's like. It's like a song that, like, it fills you up, you know? Like, it just...
We're going to start using
there's
that.
Just... Yeah. I mean,
this song's going to fill you up.
Look, I'm a very... Dan and Tez will tell you, I am an emo kid at heart, you know? And speaking of which, I had a great idea for an emo band. Don't let me forget to tell you. But, like, so I think... about music very emotionally, and I connect with it on a very emotional level, and that is a song that just like like you almost feel like emotionally drained after listening to it, which is good. That's a very good thing, man. That was amazing.
Thank you. It's got a lot happening.
Dude, just don't go Guns N' Roses and you guys will be fine, man, you know?
Yeah.
Don't go,
it's funny you say that, man, because that's
never
totally
go
where
full
I would
Guns
go.
N' Roses. Yeah. I mean,
dude, I would have the backup singers, I would have the trumpets or all of it.
You can flirt with Guns N' Roses, but don't ever go full. Once you go full Guns N' Roses, there's no going back, man. There's no going back, dude. Yeah.
Ain't that the truth.
You cannot go black.
I won't. I'll tell you, man, these, like, the four of us, I've been in a lot of dysfunctional bands, and we're very lucky. Somehow we found four people that aren't a mess. Like, it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, dude, some of it is age, man. Like, being around in the scene for a while and knowing each other through the, you know, through the past, like, a lot of times that helps, as opposed to just, like, you know, when you're young, like, someone's always fucked up, you know? But, like, you know, as you grow older, like, the drama factor decreases, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely, that has a lot to do with it, yeah, I'm recovering, and the singer's recovering, so we're all, like, that's definitely part of it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps, makes it nice.
Where do you guys, I mean, well, Tez, how do you always say it? Like, you're not 5-year plan, but 1-year plan. Or like, where do you guys see yourselves going? Whatever that Tez
five
segment
and ten.
Is.
5 and 10.
Five and 10. Okay,
ten?
Cool. Yeah, 5 and 10 years.
What do you
years.
Think, Zach?
Where do you guys want to go?
What do you want to do in 5 and 10 years?
5 or 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'd be great if we could just keep on this path and keep getting more and more shows and just grow our following and whatnot, and see where it takes us. I don't really have too much of an image on
my main goal for the next, I would say, 5 years is to play out of state as much as possible. We've oversaturated our neighborhood, I mean, by a lot. So we're trying to get out and play other places, and that's why we started playing down there, like where you guys are, and we're playing in Mechanicsburg
Harrisburg.
Yeah. Yeah, at JB Love Drafts. It's a pretty popular place.
Yeah, that's a big spot. Yeah. Cool.
They have two locations. They have one there and one in Mechanicsburg, and I think the one in Mechanicsburg, they have like big bands. I think they have like Convert and shit plays there.
Yeah. Totally.
The main goal, and just to keep growing it. Like, I would like to, you know, have a guarantee, you know, eventually one day. Sure. You know, I miss those days. That was cool. That was fun. You know, knowing you're gonna walk out of there with some money in your pocket that you are well deserved. You know.
Yeah.
I would like to take this band to as far as I was ever with any of my other bands. Cool. Like, I like to do all that stuff. I got to go over to Europe when I was younger and do that, and I don't see why we couldn't do that, you know, do some touring. It just has to be, because I have two children and a wife and a full-time job.
Yeah,
and
man.
We all have full-time
It's different now, man.
It has to be.
Yeah. It's different it now. Yeah, it's different
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And, like, my wife's super cool about it, and it really, it makes things easier. I mean, we do basically use my home as our headquarters.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see where you guys go with this, man. And, like, hopefully to be, like, a little part of it. Like, I want to hit some shows with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. So every guest we have, we do something called a lightning round. And it's just to get your mind off of all of this nonsense we've been talking this whole time. And just get into just some of life's more important moments. So they're quick questions, and they will require quick answers. Don't overthink it. Don't write 15 parts for it, goddammit, you know? And so, Jay, are you ready? The lightning round. Yeah! There should have been a symbol after it, you know, but whatever. Okay, here we go, guys. Most of the ones. Thanks.
There you go.
Thanks. Jerk. All right. Most of these questions tonight, my daughter came up with, which means they're even better. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Here we go. And this is for both of you. Sorry, the rest of the band isn't here.
Hey.
So you know, like, fuck off. Yeah, you know, this is about you guys. Yeah.
Off.
Right. All right. If you named your band another name, what would it be?
Oh, man. I don't even remember, because we had a list.
Spider Biter was getting thrown around.
Yeah.
And actually, that came from my kids.
That's
dope.
Yeah. So actually, on our record, because you have to have a record label name, it's Spider Biter Records.
Sure, man. Yeah. Spider Biter.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Any more?
I can't even remember any of the other ones.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Fucking ridiculous ones.
All right.
Spider biter cool. is killer.
Yeah.
Spider
yeah,
like biter, that. Dude. I'll make a shirt. I'll make a spider biter shirt yeah. for sure. Okay. If you could make a new instrument, what would you call it and what would it be used for?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. That's a hard question.
I know. This is a 10-year-old, dude. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this.
Hmm. So what we are all saying is we are not smarter than a fifth grader.
That's
shit. Yeah. Totally. My son's a fifth grader. I cannot do this math.
She's a fifth grader. Totally. All right, so what do you got? Your instrument.
I would try to come up with something that is more like something percussive with a guitar or with a bass. But not like just your typical acoustic, like, you know, hitting the body of the guitar, like something that's a little more user friendly.
Like a box with a hole in it.
Yeah, it's like a cajon, but not sitting on it. You know what I mean? Like some way.
Got you.
Yeah. Like where you like, you know how like you do a B bender on a guitar and you move it up and down and it changes the key? Yeah. So something like that.
Yeah. So, all right, drummer boy, what you got, man? What would you make up for your drum kit, man?
I have no idea. So, one of my buddies that I used to work with had this idea a long time ago. It's actually a thing now. But he was talking about, he's really into EDM. And he would always talk about putting lights around my rims. So anytime I hit the rims, they would light up, right? And just basically have that as a drum EDM show, basically. And have triggers on them with different sounds and stuff like that.
That's
like
not an instrument.
What's that?
That's not an instrument.
It could be an instrument.
It counts, man. That's it's a drums, hard question, man.
All right.
It's just
blank.
No, dude. I've seen that. I've seen that with like hula hoops and stuff, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's a great idea.
Easy. Stroking out.
No, you just play normal. The lights will do their own thing, man. Yeah.
You don't even gotta work, dude.
Yeah. The dude from Tool probably has it already.
Probably.
Watch. You know, Google that shit.
It's probably a thing.
Cool. And yeah, none of y'all said a flute that blows bubbles, and that's stupid. That's stupid on everybody. that's what I would say.
Yeah.
It's an anchor man uses a flute thrower.
Dude. All right, next question. You hit the Powerball. What do you do first?
Quit my job. Very first thing.
Buy first. Like, where do you go first? What do you do first?
Make a very important phone call. I'd probably just go on a really, really good vacation. Like, just pick up and leave anywhere I want to go. With everybody.
Travel the world.
Like I don't know, just do whatever. I won't be working anymore, so I just drive across the country and then fly to Hawaii and do whatever I want and make music.
Yeah, you have nothing but time.
Yeah. I love to travel and just see everything, so that'd be my first expense.
You have the opportunity to travel back in time. Where would you go?
My kids and I ask the same questions.
This is fifth grader, dude. Yeah, it's you know it.
This is our dinner time talk. I always say when Jesus was walking around.
See what the fuss was about.
I want to see what happened, man. I want to see what the bullshit is.
I want the truth.
Yeah. I want to go down there with a camera. And a notebook.
Man, I thought you were going to keep it music related.
No.
I was going to say, I want to go back to before the Rev died and see him play live. The Rev from Avenged Sevenfold. Never got to see him. I saw them when Mike Portnoy was playing with them, but never when the Rev did.
So you are a dedicated drummer, dude, you can go back to the dinosaurs. You can go back to the Big Bang. You can go back to the Viking Age.
I thought we were keeping just this to, music related.
You want to go see Rev, bro.
Avenged Sevenfold.
That's what's up, dude. That's what's up.
I was a little taken back by your answer. Not gonna lie,
man. No, dude. It doesn't gotta be musical, man. Yeah, it can be whatever you feel. About
this. Yeah, I mean, like, that's the first thing that came to mind.
Or I would go back to see the pyramids being built and see what the hell happened with that, too.
Well, tell my ancestors and the aliens that you say what's up.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, cool. All right, next one. You discovered a planet. What would you name it? This is a great question.
I know, I need my kids in here.
Zia needs to write all the...
Oh man!
All the lightning round questions.
Shut up, Jay! I can do what I want, man. I can do my own lightning round if I want, man. You know, like
Zia is officially on the team.
Don't slow my flow. You know, this is Zia came up with some good ones, so I was recording them. You discovered a planet. What would you name it?
Where can I live on this planet, or is it just a planet?
Oh my God, dude! Don't overthink it, man. This fifth grade
affects the name, man.
Dude, you should okay, fine. You discover a planet. Nah, man. You discover a planet. Yeah. Period. Period. That's period.
Work with what you got.
Not a community, not a people, not a species. It's a planet.
Just a planet.
What do you want to name? What do you want to name it, man? Say Hannibal. God damn it. Say Hannibal. Oh, yeah. I'll name a planet Hannibal, dude. Yeah.
Dave's planet. Dave's planet. It's just mine, man. Well, what's that? That's Dave's planet. No, yeah, I would name it Hannibal.
Hannibal.
That's my official answer.
Final answer?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with what he said. That's a...
Hannibal?
Yeah, that's a... She's having some hard questions here.
Hey, dude. All right. Here's the next one. Dune or Star Wars?
I've never seen Dune. Star Wars. So I'll go Star Wars. I really like Dune, but I grew up on Star Wars.
Yeah.
So.
Happy ending kind of guys, huh? All right. I see. That's a great question on Zia right there. Like, that's basically like happy ending or bad ending, you know? Like. Yeah. Yeah. Dune or Star Wars. Cool. All right. If you could have lunch with any artist, who would it be?
Alive.
It's up to you, bro.
I would say James Hetfield. That's my stereotypical go-to answer. I can't help it, man. I'm a fanboy.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Hetfield, dude. Papa Het, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, for sure.
One artist.
She chose the word artist, so that means whatever you want.
Does it have to be a singular, or can it be the band?
Nah, man. Artist, man. Yeah.
Who's buying lunch?
You're not gonna like me for saying this. Probably the drummer for Extreme.
Yeah.
That was
no shit.
The first band that I started playing to when I was 3 years old. That my dad
Dude,
had
why don't we jam
to.
With some extremes?
I don't know.
Fucking...
But I would love to meet them. That would be awesome.
All right, well, I'll change my answer to Nuno Bettencourt then. Then we'll just have an extreme lunch. I don't want Gary Sharon in there, though. He ruined Van Halen.
All right, so if Hannibal could have lunch with any artist, it would be extreme.
Apparently it's extreme, yeah.
I guess for this part of Hannibal.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool, man. I got one more and then you guys are finished. This is actually a bonus question, yeah. What's your favorite Kardashian?
Oh boy.
And that was the best answer right there.
Nah, man, answer it, man. Favorite Kardashian, man.
Do they have any animals?
I don't know.
Can I pick one of them?
I'm not sure.
Travis Barker crossed the
line.
That's
true.
Yeah, he did.
That's true.
I don't know.
They're getting into rocker boys. They're in a rocker boy phase right now a little bit, you know? Yeah. Yeah. They're getting into us.
I don't know. I guess Kim, if I have to pick one of them, as long as she doesn't say anything. I it was on the television and I just happened to stop and look at it for a minute, like their show, and
and then you got sucked in.
I couldn't get that 5 minutes back. Ran away.
Yeah. Oh God. I guess I'll say Chloe. She seems like the most level-headed one.
Yes.
I guess. So.
I'm a Chloe guy too, man.
Okay.
I'm a Chloe guy too, I think. Right. Yeah,
I'm not alone here.
I feel you.
I'm not married to my ideas.
Yeah.
I can jump ship. I don't.
Your first response was the best response. That,
But dude, the only thing is, if you get with Kim, then like, you know, like you're kind of following Kanye, you know, so you can be as weird as you want to be. So that's kind of cool. That's like true. If I was with Kim Kardashian, I could like wear Crocs to the Grammys or something, or like, you know, like doesn't matter. I'm with Kim Kardashian. Yeah,
really, the craziest thing you can come up with?
Crocs to the Grammys.
Crocs to the Grammys, bro. Fuck the Grammys, yo. Fuck the fucking Grammys, man. But anyways, look, hey, you guys, congratulations. You survived
Thank you.
Lightning round, man. Yeah, you're very good.
Tell your daughter.
This
was
a hard one.
No, those are great questions.
And my kids are going to be upset that they weren't part of it.
Yeah. Totally.
They're going to get mad at my answers. Why did you just say that?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, look, man. Jay, what else do we have to do, like, professionally to end this episode with these guys? What did we miss? As a producer.
Nothing?
All right, then.
Oh, well, wait. Where do we find you?
Oh, yeah.
All that shit, right? Yeah.
We are all over Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, on streaming on all platforms. All of our information is on Bandcamp. Also, you can buy T-shirts and CDs on there. Our next show is October 14th. It's Rocktoberfest in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. It is behind Rivet. Oh.
When is it?
October 14th.
Okay.
Not this weekend, but the following weekend.
So look, your name is unique, and honestly, we probably should have went through the name first, but like your name technically is HNBL. We're calling you Hannibal. So to find you guys online,
so as of right now on Spotify or on streaming, it is spelled out Hannibal, but on all social media, it is HNBL. We're going to fix all of that with the next record and get everything to HNBL.
HNBL is going to be the name.
It's going to be the name. Yeah. Yeah. It was originally to make it easier for people to find it, but now we have two band names.
So you guys are known as HNBL and Hannibal.
Right, because on Spotify, when it was put on there, the guys were putting it on there, they're like, you should just spell it out so people don't have to look that hard for it. But that wasn't really the way to go. So
how is spelling it out harder to search than four freaking letters?
Because if you say Hannibal, then you have to explain that it's not written out. It's only four letters.
Yeah.
That was the idea. That was the thinking behind it.
If people could figure out NXS, they can figure out HNBL.
That's right, yeah.
But you guys want to be
HNBL.
Right.
Pronounced as Hannibal.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay, cool.
And it's based on...
It looks a lot cooler as HNBL, though. It looks a whole hell of a lot cooler that way.
Oh, yeah. And it's also part of the reason was that so it deters people from thinking that it's about Hannibal Lecter.
Right. That's the obvious. The first Hannibal comes in your mind is Hannibal Lecter.
It's based on Hannibal Barca, who was the Carthage general in the first Punic War. So.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he like wrote.
We never.
It's what? Like like 300. Like 300 type shit. Yeah.
Who came up with the name?
Our original bass player came up with the name.
No longer with the band.
No.
Wait, so
I feel
the
like
name...
we missed an opportunity for a story here.
Totally.
This is,
like,
this is about to be a two-parter. This is a two-parter right here, man.
The ex-bass player comes up with the name Hannibal based on the war, I guess.
General guy.
The, the old Viking war, what like Viking shit or
before
what is it?
Before that, no, like before, like BC.
Yeah.
BC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the name Hannibal sticks out, but it's HN. Who came up with HNBL?
He did. Yeah. As a way to make it not like Hannibal Lecter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
And then he left?
And then he left right after he was done recording the album. Yeah.
He had the name. Himself in the
peace
ass.
Out. You know?
He didn't drop all his goodness and then left.
Wait, the first album though, not this album.
Correct.
The first
album. So then we found Patrick, our bass player, now through Bandmix. I tried all of my connections around here and just couldn't really find anybody that would fit, and you know that, because we kind of ask a lot too. You know, like it's not if you have a hardcore band, and you're like, hey man, can you play bass? It's like, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. This
but with
is
us,
different.
It's no, like no, you gotta write like a bass line, you know, like
yeah.
something
yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
unique. So then we found him.
It's all right. It's all right to use Tinder or Bumble or whatever y'all got to
exactly
use to find
right.
your match.
Exactly
yeah.
what it is. Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right, man.
It was so,
I ain't mad at y'all.
I avoided doing that for as long as I could, and then finally I'm like, fuck it. I'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And
you found a match,
and,
man.
And that was it, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, you get more up. Than that's a bass player on Tinder. You're gonna be playing some bass, all right. Yeah. Some real deep notes.
Getting real low. And that rhythm.
Low ends, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
but look, but the name HNBL, Hannibal.
Yeah.
It means something to you guys still, or would you rather be Spider Biter or whatever, you know? Like.
That was the discussion we had about it, and then we kind of felt that it was already in place, and why mess with it? Because we kind of were thinking about changing it because he had come up with it, and then he wasn't in the band anymore.
Right. I'm with that.
It came up, but it was picked as a group decision.
Yeah,
you know, like we were all spitting out ideas for a band name, and that was one of the ones that we all kind of agreed on. So we just stayed with that.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, man. To Hannibal, man. Yeah.
Thank
to
you.
Hannibal. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. For sure.
And that
sure.
and the little the symbol that we have on our T-shirts is this like the sign of that general.
Yeah.
During that war, yeah, the sign of the Tannet is meant for that. So we're trying to like incorporate that imagery in there to also you know make it cohesive.
I actually have your T-shirt. I swap shirts with with Pete.
Yeah, I remember that.
So
yeah.
I gave him a Ten Roar shirt, and he gave me a Hannibal shirt. So
yeah.
I actually have.
Yeah, he doesn't
a
need one of
shirt.
Our goddamn shirts anyway. He's in the band.
I should have worn it. Yeah, I should have worn it, man. I should have worn it tonight. I didn't even think of it, man. But next time, I tell you what. Next time we play together.
Yeah.
I will wear my Hannibal T-shirt. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I will definitely get a Ten Morris T-shirt.
I have a thing about that.
There's one in the box, bro. There's one somewhere in the box. There's a Ten Morris shirt there, man.
Do you guys wear your own T-shirts when you play?
No, dude.
You don't wear your own
dude,
band's T-shirt.
I had a drummer who wore our own T-shirts every show.
Isn't that bad luck?
Every show.
No.
That's bad luck. Yeah, that's bad. That's bad luck. No, you can't do
that. Or wear T-shirts to the band that you go see or whatever.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't do that either.
No.
It's like,
no.
You bought, it's on the ticket. You know who you're going to see.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude. And even if you buy it, if you buy a shirt at the show, I'm not sure if I'm wearing it.
No.
I might just roll it up and like tuck it in my back pocket or something.
Shit,
like,
yes.
Yeah.
That joint, it's got every state stink on it.
Yeah.
You got to
watch that
before you put it on.
Yeah.
No, but it's not the stink. It's like you just don't want to be like, this isn't Kiss. You know, you don't wear the Kiss shirt to the Kiss show.
Yeah.
You know, like
when
it
I
doesn't it
when I saw
doesn't work
Kiss,
like
I did,
that now.
I did paint my face like Gene said.
Absolutely. If you see Kiss, then you wear everything Kiss. You know, you do the face, the shirt, the fingernails, the tongue, the whatever, you know.
14
like,
or 15, I think. So
Yeah.
Oh, you're definitely gonna do it then. You're definitely gonna do it.
Oh yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
All the original members did it was fucking awesome.
Which is what makes Kiss the best rock band ever in the entire universe of all time.
Oh man, that is a Yeah. Hot button.
Yeah. I'll take it to my grave, man. I'll be Kiss Army forever, man.
Hey, I love
Kiss
them.
Army forever.
I don't think they're probably the best people, but I love their music, and I think it's fucking great. I always have since I was a kid.
I mean, if you can't, dude, Buffett, like what? Like Cheeseburger in Paradise, homie? Are you serious?
Bro. I have been waiting all show to mention Jimmy Buffett. Are you fucking kidding me?
You're going to break my Kiss Army thing with some Jimmy Buffett, bro.
Hell yeah.
Your heart.
Cheeseburger Paradise is a shit,
hard.
Dude.
But Jimmy Buffett, his music, listen, and this is the point that I'm making right here. A black dude from the hood just brung up Jimmy Buffett. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. Because his
Let
music,
that marinate
his,
for a second.
His music reached multiple different kind of people.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different races and all that stuff that can tell you who Jimmy Buffett was.
Yeah.
Kiss has a certain thing to a certain group of people, and it's direct and it's straight for them. Jimmy Buffett was all over the place with his shit.
Yo.
So it was
Kiss had,
stop talking.
Kiss
I gotta think of the name. You're about to ruin it. What was his name? Oh my god. E Street?
Bruce Springsteen?
Yes.
The boss,
yes. Bruce Springsteen's music hit such a large range of people. Black, white, Asian. The only other people that did shit like that was Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson could go around the world and everybody knew who he was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's true.
Bruce Springsteen, Jimmy Buffett, they had those kind of responses. Kiss.
Fuck that, man. Kiss, bro. That's it, dude.
Kiss
the
Army.
Demon. The Star Child. The Cat. The Spaceman, man. Yeah, comic book characters, bro.
I have so X-Men, many ideas dude. For episode titles for this thing. Kiss
you know, bring
some
Margaritaville.
Exactly.
Bring some Margaritaville, dude. Bring some Margaritaville, yeah. Like
this episode
exactly.
This episode is either going to be called Kiss versus Jimmy Buffett or a flute that blows bubbles.
good shit, you guys. Good shit. All right, Tez, I'll make peace with you for now on this, but I'm not done with you yet by far.
Enough.
Kiss versus Jimmy Buffett. Bro, you're
it's
going
Buffett
down.
All the way. It's Buffett all the way.
You're out your mind. You're Buffett out your mind, dude. It's like saying like Ozzy. Nah, I ain't even bringing Ozzy into it. I ain't even getting there. I'm not even going to Ozzy.
I bet you we can get some Kiss fans on here and they'll be like, I mean, Jimmy Buffett was the man. Yeah. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you, bro.
All right, man.
You're gonna be like, Cheeseburgers in Paradise? Yeah.
Yeah, Kiss might be a little more polarizing than Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, man. Like,
I've never seen Jimmy Buffett live. I've seen Kiss, so I'll be on the Kiss side of things, but.
Fucking right, you've seen Kiss live. Good job, dude. Yeah. Good job, you know. Good job.
You could. People that have seen Kiss live. Florida, a whole state, seen Jimmy Buffett live. Yeah. Top that, bro. Top that.
Whole state.
On that note,
including the Keys.
Yeah.
All right,
especially the Keys.
That's a closer. Yeah, that's a good closer there.
Oh, man. Yo,
yeah.
I have fun with y'all, man. I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, for sure.
Appreciate it.
Y'all definitely coming back. So don't even worry about it. We're going to get this show shit going. And I can't wait for a show. We're going
to
kill it.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. We're going to
kill it, bro. We're going to kill it.
Yeah, definitely.
Y'all got any last words?
New album coming out beginning of next year. Yeah, that's pretty much what we got going on. October 14th, Rocktoberfest.
Yep.
Good work, dude. Yep. Good work with that one. Good work.
any last words?
Zach, got anything? No. He got it.
Oh, man.
All right, then.
Thanks. Anytime.
Jay,
Dan.
Two things. First, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you guys for coming out. It was a blast. Second thing, I want to start an emo band called Cruel Summer, and all they do are Taylor Swift covers.
Ah, you remembered your idea from earlier, man.
Play guitar on that.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Kaylin's been requesting Taylor Swift every time we get in the car, and it hit me on the way home tonight. So
there you go.
You good pull, song, you.
It's good shit.
I'm sorry, bro, for the Taylor Swift, you know. Thank you to Hannibal for coming out and doing this with us. Thank you to the team, to Tez and to Jay and to Greg, who's doing the editing for it. Good luck with that one, bro. And we'll see you guys next time. All is love and PMA, positive mental attitude for everyone. Thank you.
Sure. Love one another, support one another, be kind to one another, support cystic fibrosis if you don't do anything else. Love y'all. Thank y'all. Peace.
And that's it for this week. If you want to learn more about Hannibal, all of their stuff will be linked in the show notes, as well as links to our own social media sites. So come on by and say hi. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening from. And with all of that being said, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.